Good morning, diners and travelers. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. And today we begin our first report on our experiences in San Sebastian and the rest of Spain. Attending, first of all, Gastronomica, which, if we're pronouncing it correctly, would be Gastronomica. Let me tell you, it's a big deal. It's a four-day congress, and everybody is there. This year's theme, we'll find out. We'll be talking to the director, first off the bat, who is Rosa Torres. And the theme this year was Italian honoring the Spaniards, honoring Italian chefs. I think I got that right.
Yeah.
And it was a
well, they always do that. That's the theme, isn't it? It's Spanish chefs in very much the heart of Spanish cuisine, but honoring another nation.
Yeah.
And the most interesting thing, I guess, that Roser had to say was the announcement as to who's going to come next time. We'll just make you listen so that you figure out who it was.
Well, let's listen to the Signora Direttore. We must speak with the director, Roser Torres, to wrap up this 2014 Gastronomica event. Signora, you must be breathing a great sigh of relief.
No, la próxima edición hemos escogido como tema dos ciudades gastronómicas, Singapur y Hong Kong. El que es porque creemos que la tendencia, igual que la cocina japonesa ya está muy bien introducida en España, la cocina asiática de nivel igual no lo está tanto y puede ser que marquemos una tendencia.
So it means that we have chosen Hong Kong and Singapore because we want to work with new trends, and we think that these two cities are gastronomic cities in the future, but we have to discover them. It's different than Japan, for example. We know a lot about the Japanese gastronomy, but we don't know enough about Asian gastronomy.
Speaking back again about this year's event, what was its most memorable aspect?
Yo diría la alegría. La cocina italiana es muy similar a la española. Tiene una serie tanto producto del Mediterráneo como incluso la picardía de los cocineros y esta amabilidad y cómo se ha vivido el congreso de una forma tan viva, ¿no? Es decir, las dos cocinas son dos cocinas con mucho sabor y esto se ha notado.
Well, the Spanish gastronomy and the Italian are very similar. We share some tasting plates and of course a lot of Mediterranean products. So we are similar, and it means that this year a lot of people have left this Congress with happiness.
What will be the official language of next year's conference?
Será siempre el español y el inglés, naturalmente. Siempre la lengua oficial siempre es el español y el inglés.
The official language will always be the Spanish one, but of course with translation in English in the auditorium. Because there will be a lot of chefs from abroad again.
Any other changes next year?
Uf, és que ara comencem, no sé. Ara comencem a pensar, m'agradaria també fer algo del mundo de la coctelería, me gustaría.
We only are starting to imagine the next edition, so it's difficult to say that. But maybe one idea is doing something about cocktails into the Gastronomica. Cocktails.
We're going to go straight on with today's program because we have a lot to cover. And in the next segment, two of the leaders in contemporary Italian cuisine, our good friend Massimo Bottura, from Osteria Francescana and Francescetta, and a restaurant just opened in Istanbul.
Yes, Italy in Istanbul.
Who is just, he's such a inspiring person to listen to. You're just going to want to be fascinated by every word that he said.
Now, I want to interject that we actually will, we do, he does talk about his book because he was thrilled. His really spectacular first cookbook just came out, and he was signing copies and so forth. I wanted to mention that even though he talks about it somewhat in the interviews to the media conference, we're going to actually have a separate interview with him about the book and specifics. And then we move on to Carlo
Cracco, whose home restaurant is in Milan. And I think he has several establishments. And he's another leader of contemporary Italian cuisine. There's reference in the interview to a restaurant where he first worked for a substantial period of time in Italy, where he learned the ropes, and then he went on to a more contemporary future. And so it's a great pairing. I'm sure these guys are great friends because they're not so far away. Carlo's in Milan, and Massimo's, of course, in Modena. So here they are, back to back.
The creative process is make and do avant-garde, contemporary, is to know everything and forget about everything. So that means this is low temperature, this is the distillation process, then the vacuum pack, the way of cooking. You see how the pictures are like totally different. Look at this. You pass through piece of meat like veal tongue, cheek, stuff like that, to a photograph. This is a poetry. So the book is shot by two artists. One is Stefano Graziani, who photographed the chaos in my head and the chaos in the kitchen. And the other one is Carlo Benvenuto, that is a photograph as a poetry, you know, white silence, in which you can read the whole creative process and that behind this dish and the whole idea that is coming out. So it's bollito, not boil. So after 1,000 years of history, we change the tradition, because boiling the meat into the water, you lose vitamin, protein, and organoleptic parts. So one day I was going into the kitchen and I was asking, with Artusi in my mind, I was asking, why do I have to boil the meat? So this is a doubt that I have. So that means I have something inside that I'm not sure that I have to follow the tradition. I'm confronting the tradition. I'm confronting the tradition to see and to understand the nostalgic part and the good part. So I'm bringing just the good part into the future. And what is the good part? It's the quality of the meat and the poetry of 1,000 years of history. So the critic part was preserve the work of heroic people, heroic farmers. They are taking animals to the Alps at 2,000 meters to eat incredible wild herbs. So I have to protect this the artisan. And the meat is coming out alive, full of vitamin and protein. In the beginning, was just a disaster because people, they didn't understand. And you all know how I was struggling. But 10 years later, now they are teaching at university. This bollito, not boil. So that's very important. Then what I did, I gave a cover that there is no timing. You cannot say this is from 1970, 1980, 1825, or 2014. Because it's not a cooking book. It's not a trend, you know. It's not foraging. It's not... This is my mind, you know. I'm trying to put in the book my mind, my way of thinking, my knowledge, and the creative process. This is about the book. Can you look at me, Rosas? You know me since 10 years ago. I know. But do you see me very relaxed? Or, you know, I'm totally satisfied. I'm emotion, you know. And then feel people from all over the world, you know, I feel finally, Fidon that he said, okay, we're going to translate in Spanish, we're going to translate in Dutch, we're going to translate in French, you know, is already in English, Italian. So this is like something that gives you a lot of confidence because you know and you feel that the response is amazing. This is very important. And then I receive all these messages on Twitter, Facebook, you know, where I can get, but like 2 months ago, since the rumors, they're coming out. I feel we did a great job, you know. Me, my wife, my team, the two photographers that I choose, the publisher, they gave me freedom to do whatever I want. If you think about a cookbook, they start with the fog of a boiling things that Italian knows that is the boiling from pasta. But, you know, it's difficult to see what it is. Or like the oven empty that is ready to be, to get and to receive something. Maybe the tartelletta of oops, I dropped the lemon tart. Or like explaining like the crazy preparation you have to do just for one dish. So people, they're not in this job like you. They don't understand that to make one dish, you need to prepare all this. And I get ready for that. I speak my mind, as I always say, you know, we are all talking and talking and talking, but if you don't always remember that it's not just about you, but about everything, you know, about the team, about the artisan, about the cheesemaker, the farmers, the fishermen, they give you incredible ingredients, you can transfer emotion with, you know, where do you want to go? What is the if it's a passion, is a passion. When you start reading and get deep into things, you do it because culture, you feel, is the most important thing. Culture brings knowledge. With knowledge comes awareness. With awareness leads to responsibility. You know, when you start reading, don't you feel you want to know more? It's normal. The more you read, the more you want to know. The more you know, the more you want to know. And the example I see in my guys, in my team, you know, with my team, I give them a word every 2 weeks. You know, they have to go deep into those words. Do you know something about Russian constructivism? No. So show me 2 pages of what it is, Russian constructivism. Do you know something about metaphysic and the Chirico and the futurism and transavanguardia? Show me. Because everything is in here, you know, and is in here, in the plate we create. Think about camouflage. Camouflage, you know, Carola and Thomas, they published Camouflage, the first, just before it was coming out. And, you know, we were talking about camouflage as a civet of air, you know. An air civet is one of the most difficult recipe you can make. And, you know, takes a lot of preparation, respect, the perfect ingredients, everything. And then we went through a different stage. And we start creating a civet that was coming out in abstract. And so the civet became a creme, and then became a royale, adding a little bit of foie gras, and a little bit of irony. You know, it's about Samuel Jackson and John Travolta in Pulp Fiction. They are like talking about, oh, do you know how the French, you know, they serve a cheeseburger, how they call them? No. Royale with cheese. Yeah, but it's a cheeseburger. And, you know, it's about that. It's about using a little bit of irony. And then we went deep and deep into contamination, because contamination is something that is very important. If you don't get contaminated, how can you evolve? You know, we need contaminate. If we didn't have an immigration from India and Pakistan, you know, we didn't have people. They were working and making Parmigiano Reggiano and keep that tradition alive. If we didn't have, you know, this kind of people, they're coming and they work and they gave us their knowledge and they put themselves and they help us, how can we evolve? Contamination is so important. but a wise contamination, not a wild contamination. Wise contamination means evolution without losing your past. And so, like that, you evolve, you keep evolving. And tradition are improved, because they are not pieces of art left in a museum. Tradition has to re-elaborate. You have to ask yourself, why? And do they respect the ingredients? If not, it's our responsibility to change the recipe and to evolve the tradition.
Of the future, you undoubtedly know the late architect Louis Kahn. Do you know him? He said, it is important what you dream about. It is more important to know not what's coming to dream about.
You know what I feel? I feel that... Don't trust me, don't trust me. You know, Rosas told me, don't talk about the book. Yeah, don't worry about that. I won't talk about the book. So, guys, I'm so happy about that. And I have my new book. And, you know, they say, Rosas, don't trust a skinny Italian chef. Come on.
Never trust a skinny chef.
Never.
You should have put 30 kilos for this.
Come on. Yeah. We'll see. At the end of the tour, there is a famous person from Modena who told me, if you can dream it, you can make it. And the problem is when the dream becomes reality, that is like, wow, can be a real nightmare if you don't, if you're not prepared, if you're not there with your mind, if you didn't grow very deep and with big roots that they can keep you there, grounded, you know. This is about dream, and it's about what I say to the young chef, and about the feeling and the whole creative process. If you go deep into your interest, one day this interest is going to be a passion, and through the passion you can transfer emotion. Once you have a passion, you have a passion. You don't lose passion. It's not about that. Of course you can have, you know, a little bit of down or up and going, but it's about what is like, you live the passion. So it's not about from 2 to 4 that I'm doing creativity, from 12 to 2 I'm serving, and from 4 to 5 I'm chopping. No, it's not about that. It's not about that. You live, you know, I rebuilt the kitchen when we restored the old restaurant with Wi-Fi, with music everywhere, with everything is there. Because, you know, I feel I need people around me, they can feel that passion. Why the book? Because the book is a piece of paper.
And then when we use some products come from South is unbelievable, unique, is very different than us, our products. Our products is very good. We have truffle, cheese, vegetables, fruit, all. But the difference is very clear. And for me, the best is when you try to use a mix to mix the products, salt products with I consider the my kitchen and my line very elegant, very simple, but very rich. Because when you taste, when you eat, you have a very, very, a lot of reminder. Yeah, you have many things. Yeah. And it's very important for me. 1, 2, 3 ingredients and stop. Because it's very, very Italian, this. I believe the Italian cuisine now is very difficult to recognize, because you have a kitchen in USA, in South America, in Asia, in North Europe, in Spain, French, Germany. Now we have a lot of kitchen, many kitchen, and it's very difficult sometimes recognize that they're really the true kitchen. And for me, is the products the difference?
But you are known for very creative plates.
Yeah, but this is the man, this is the chef. You create, but you can create when you have a flavor, a taste, smell. When you have a man that work in the heart, and that come out the really product, is for me is the difference. The lemon and the almonds that we present today. Is a rice, is a risotto, no? Rice. It's very simple. But when you eat, is an explosion. Very simple. Not put small ducks that we have only one man produce for 1 kilo in a month. No. Yeah, sometime is okay, it's good to find, but I prefer to play with the simple products that we know, but the real taste, the real flavor is very important, and when you arrive to mix and you have the dish is perfect, and the chef create the dish, not the product.
Now, do you have another question?
Sorry for my English.
No, no, your English is very good. I talked to Alessandro. We wanted to make a larger. Would it be okay if you could do it now? And you can use anything that we ask Carlo. Is it okay?
I see.
Yes. Would you sit down and maybe?
No.
Okay. Can you describe yourself at the time of coming to the kitchen of Gualtiero Marchese in Milan? It was in 1986. Can you describe yourself at that time?
Was an amazing moment, because I'm so young, 20 years old, and I arrive, Marchese change. I don't know if you remember, but in Italy, in this year, yes. Some 2 years before, people eat in the restaurant cream, peas, and ham, pasta, and you, because the Italian cuisine. Born before, no, in with the grandmother, the mother, and is very traditional. But people don't want to eat in the restaurant because it is for house. This
I can eat that at home, so in the restaurant I
want different. Okay, and people thinks the chefs and also the restaurant the men think okay. We take in French, we take some around, no? And the mix and the put, but it's terrible. Terrible. Was terrible. And Marchese decided to stop, finish this. We don't use cream, we don't use a lot of butter. We use only olive oil, and we try to create the new Italian cuisine, but not the dish, but the flavor, the taste. We recuperate the taste, the products, and we try to change their traditional recipes with a modern taste.
And we'll be back after a short break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back. You'll note that probably our interviews are not as we usually do them one-on-one. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're in the midst of a media room
with
the press goes.
Like one in 53.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, these people, these chefs are rock stars. And you had videos rolling. You had photographers shoving lenses into people's faces. Some even microphones up to their mouths, which our very own Pedro El Conejo had
I had mine right there too, and you will in fact have noticed that we didn't actually begin the recordings of Massimo and Carlo right at the very beginning because of the setup difficulties.
Yeah, and the next two coming up, Juan and Jordi Roca.
Right.
I mean, they also are rock stars. They just completed a huge tour of their restaurant all through the U.S. and South America, Central America, and so forth. And we fortunately got both of them. They're brothers, and their restaurant is now number two. Last year it was number one.
Yeah,
and who knows about next year?
Well, you talked to him about that, and you said you're probably coming back to number one again next year. They have another brother. Who wasn't there? He's the wine man. So he stayed home, and we especially thank Jordi for doing a fine job in doing his interview in English.
Yes.
So here they are.
Yeah.
Bueno, ja clar, hi ha un plat de que servíem la massa mare, servíamos la massa madre y que una evolución de esto es buscar.
An evolution from the masa madre, the modern mass, in English, no sé cómo se
llama.
Evolution.
Es el plato de la masa madre es la idea de reproducir una masa que está fermentando y que está viva. Y como la masa madre está viva, se sigue moviendo.
The idea of a fermentation. Understand?
The bread. El pan crudo, ¿no? Y ahora hemos hecho otro que es material termorresistente, que con el calor se abre.
Con el calor. ¿Cómo veo arribar a eso?
Amb el treball multidisciplinar, con trabajando con gente de otras disciplinas que.
We work with another disciplines people, not only, por ejemplo.
Dissenyadors especialistes en materials, no? O enginyers, no?
De què està fet el material?
És un metall termoresistent, és un ferro, una varietat,
like
una variant d'un ferro.
Like iron, a variety of iron.
És un ferro que té memòria de forma, es torna a quedar com era.
It's an iron that turns back, it's moved and turns back to his initial position.
Okay, and it reacts to it.
It moves and turns back to its initial position. What food would come in this dish?
Ferro amb una silicona alimentària, no? Un consomé de verduras. Un consomé de verduras muy aromático, porque como es una flor.
Aromatic vegetables.
Queremos buscar el aroma de las flores, ¿no? Y de las plantas.
Flowers. What was the newest in Peru?
Rocotos and chiles and piscos. Yeah.
And Texas. How is Texas?
Texas tiene muy buen producto orgánico. Hay una gran cultura del producto ecológico y orgánico.
Texas has a very good organic product.
It's very interesting. Yes. And Houston is a big surprise.
Big surprise.
Claro, en Colombia es también ha sido una gran sorpresa en el viaje, porque es un país que conocíamos menos y hemos visto que tiene una gran diversidad, es una potencia gastronómica.
They knew less about Colombia before they arrived.
Chusis, Andes, Amazonas y una gran diversidad y un clima constante, ¿no? Tienen muchísimo todo el año. Es para un cocinero estar en Colombia tiene que ser el paraíso.
No. Si tens plans d'obrir fora de Girona.
No. Solo la gira la hemos hecho precisamente para no abrir restaurantes.
So that's why they did the tour, so they don't have to open a restaurant anyplace else.
Gira, precisamente para poderlo hacerlo con responsabilidad y con, ¿no?, y con sentido ético, ¿no? No queremos hacer dos cosas al mismo tiempo, pero con la idea también de no abrir restaurantes en otro lugar.
So he closes the restaurant when he goes on tour. So this is a plan that you will continue doing tours of the restaurant. This is his plan that he will continue to move around making this restaurant.
Sí, en el próximo año haremos también una gira, seguro en Turquía y probablemente hagamos también otros países de Latinoamérica, pero todavía estamos trabajando en este proyecto, no está claro. No es definitivo.
It's not definitely, but they will make Turkey and probably some other countries in Latin America.
What do you think of Fat Duck, Hested Blumenthal opening for 6 months in Melbourne and also we have the Noma is in Sydney. Oh, Tokyo, that's right. Okay, piensa.
Está muy bien, Creo que es una. De hecho, nosotros hemos abierto un nuevo campo, una nueva fórmula, ¿no? De ver la internacionalización de un restaurante.
Very good kind of view in the restaurant of how to see the international kitchens, but in the restaurant from the.
Is it a new international trend?
Sí, exacto, esta es la palabra. Creo que hemos creado una tendencia porque es una forma de irte a otro país, de aprender, de hacer una inmersión en su cultura, de buscar inspiración, de poder incluso viajar con todo tu equipo. Nosotros viajábamos con 38 personas del equipo. Es como imaginar tu restaurante durante una semana en Houston, en Dallas, en Monterrey, en DF, en Bogotá y en Lima, sabiendo que vuelves a tu restaurante después con todo tu equipo otra vez y sigues la vida en tu casa. Es decir, que no dejas un restaurante abierto y te vas, sino que haces la gira y vuelves. Lo mismo que hacen René o Heston. Estarán 2 meses y vuelven a su casa, ¿no? Claro, eso es fantástico. Es un nuevo modelo. Y creo que es un modelo de futuro.
What is the next big city to hit gastronomically? Is it Mexico City? Is it Brazil? In Brazil someplace?
Puede ser México, puede ser Brasil, puede ser Japón, puede ser San Sebastián. Claro, puede ser. Ahora lo que sí es global, o sea, las cocinas son cada vez más locales, ¿no? Todos damos mucha importancia a lo nuestro, a nuestras raíces. Pero lo que sí que es global es la pasión, la ilusión, la técnica, la conceptualización, la cocina ahora ya. Las técnicas que contamos hoy aquí, mañana se pueden estar desarrollando en cualquier lugar del mundo, ¿no? Entonces, en cualquier lugar donde haya pasión, donde haya compromiso y donde haya patrimonio cultural y productos, ¿no? En cualquier lugar de esos puede producirse una revolución gastronómica de primer orden.
We're talking to Jordi Roca, who is, of course, from the world-famous restaurant Salar de Con Roca, who you are number 2 in the world. Last year you were number 1, and I wouldn't be surprised to see you moving back and forth. How does it feel to be on top of the world at your restaurant?
No, it's really nice. It's amazing, no? It's a great opportunity for us for explain our cuisine around the world and talk of our work. It's a great opportunity. It is for us. It's not pressure. It's not complicated. All is better.
Now your father founded this restaurant, right? And you and your brother have taken it on. Have you always focused on the sweet side as a pastry chef.
I am the pastry chef. Joan is it's the chef, the salty chef, and Joseph is the wine chef. And for me, I am the last. I am. It's not a casualty. It's only I like the sweets. I like the sweets forever. When I have children. I like the sweet and I like curious for the pastry. Finally, I have the sweet part and the end of the menu. No?
Now, there seems to be an increased respect for pastry chefs. Is it that people are liking desserts more or just admitting to it?
For me, it's the most important part of the menu. It's the most important part, but it's the last part and it's the first of you remember. No? For me, I think the all the people comes to Sayer like all the people when comes at our restaurant comes with heart open. We tell in Spain, no, with all the facilities and all the complicity with us. And for me, it's a privilege to show my work.
Now, you gave a presentation on gelato. Gelato is millennia old, and yet there seems to be a new focus on gelato. I want to know why everyone is suddenly so crazy about locosi, about gelato, but aren't the flavors becoming more savory?
For me, the gelato is a really good part of the pastry. I have one gelateria in Girona, and in this gelateria we make the sweet and the gelato versions of the desserts of Sayer. No? For me, the most funny part of the gelato is make display, no, with a different of the cuisine, of the high cuisine. One gelato simple, one simple gelato, but very, very funny. No?
Give me an example of one of your most favorite gelatos.
For me, one nice gelato. It's sheep milk gelato with guava syrup and sweet milk of the sheep milk and cotton candy on top. It's inspired one dessert of me. It's a lactic dessert from Sayer. It's a jamus of sheep milk with ice cream of sheep milk and dulce de leche, sweet milk, and guava jelly and guava sorbet and cotton candy, like a sheep skin, no? And this other is a version of this.
You recently took a tour. You took your restaurant on tour, and you decided to bring back certain flavors. Could you give me some idea of the kinds of ingredients you discovered and are now working into your ice cream? I mean, into your dessert.
Yes, of course. And in this tour, we work with all the exotic ingredients, huh? Like corn for us it's exotic. It's not usual in the sweet kitchen. And my brother yesterday have one ice cream of sweet corn and fermented corn and huitlacoche. It's a fungus and we make a tricolor gelato. This is a good example of this tour, no? The inspirational. With Mexico, and we work now with fruit exotics from Colombia and chimorada from Peru. We have everything in reserve for make the all the new dishes.
They are ripping you away from me physically at this point, Jordi. So we must say goodbye. But I hope to see you next in your restaurant.
Yes, of course. Please come in the Isaias de Gandoca. You stay at home.
And we're going to take a short break, but don't go away because we'll be right back.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
And we have next, of course, another of our favorites, someone we followed for a long time, charming Virgilio Martinez.
Very thoughtful, too. There's a thoughtful side of it, him that I never suspected was there before.
Oh, you didn't?
He sounds a little bit like Massimo, very, very thoughtful about the world. You'll be interested to hear what he has to say, I feel sure.
Virgilio Martinez, I think that at least two things have happened since last time we talked. Number one, you have opened yet another restaurant in London to go along with Lima, your other restaurant. And most importantly, you were named the best, most outstanding chef in all of Latin America. You are now a star.
Well, if I'm a star, I have to thank you because you create a star. I'm just kidding. No, thank you so much. You've been very supportive to what we do, and you've been following us. You know, since the beginning, when we were kind of a small restaurant in Lima, Peru, and yeah, a small restaurant in London as well.
Your project with the Batteria, how has that changed and how has it developed since last we talked?
Yeah, we've been accumulating a lot of trips and we are having a nice registration of the trips. And actually, I've been counting before this demonstration 46 trips, mostly to the Andes, then to the Amazon, to the jungle, to the coast where we are, even an expedition to the sea for a week, which was fantastic. So I think it's moving insanely fast and quick. But you know, with the Latin American spirit, you know, slow, yeah, taking our time for a nice siesta.
Lima
time, yeah.
The subject of your presentation here at Gastronomica is Creacionismo Precolombino. What means that?
Yeah, we've been talking about, you know, thousands of years of creativity, but not coming from us, coming from pre-Hispanic times, coming from the Incas, coming from the previous Incas. There were like multiple cultures. So we've been talking about that and how these things are important now. Because we believe on this nature concept, but we don't want to be part of that cliches. I want to bring this nature from Latin America, you know, not only Peru, Latin America, and talking just how we see nature, which is different. Because we've been talking about the cosmovision, I don't know how to say cosmovision. The vision of the people from the Andes. And we are using this, you know, in order to see our landscapes, our territory, and how can we get more ideas, and how can we look up a guy from the Andes. Yeah, and their stories and their people, and because at the end of the day, they are us.
Every time I think about Peru and other Latin American countries as well, I wonder how everyday life for the average Peruvian has changed with all this notoriety, this fame, and all the excitement about the country, the culture, and the cuisine. Has it changed everyday life for the everyday person?
Well, actually, it's taking some time. It's changing. Yeah, of course. I mean, nowadays we know a little bit of our producers. Not, of course, not all of them, but we are in a way to meet them all, to make them feel part of this, the way our gastronomy is growing. And yeah, it's changing, but I wouldn't say like it's changing dramatically, and now everybody is sharing all this exposure. Now it's good for cooks as well, and for restaurants. But now I have our, you know, we have to fight now to get all these producers in our restaurants. And now we're working in a different vision. I mean, like vision, our vision has to be different with different references, like not coming from Europe. I mean, like we've been looking up Europe for many, many years. Still, we're doing that. Our mentality is very global. We've been bringing concepts from Europe, from Asia, from the States. Amazing things. But now I think it's time for us to believe on what we do. And it has to be like very, 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 very focused.
But I don't know how you describe us. When your population is so diverse, us encompasses Europe, Asia, you know, all kinds of other cultures. How do you separate out the multiple factions that are in your country? How do you define us?
Andean culture, Amazonian culture, but there's not only one Amazon. It's like when the people talk about Peruvian cuisine, I say like, there is not only one Peruvian cuisine, there are many. There is from the coast, from the sea, from the Andes, from the cevicheria, from the Amazonia. There is not only one, even one from the Amazonia. There is not one even from the Andes. Then people talk about Novandina cuisine. What's Novandina? I mean, like, we have different cultures, different variety of products, different variety of gastronomy. So I think we need to understand and we need to work on that. And it's taking time. Like, I truly believe that we have to be very passionate, and it's coming. People are very aware of this. And that's important, because now we know that there is a lot of work to do. And that's the message. We need to work on that. Yeah, we need to work on our country. We need to work on poverty. There is a huge social impact nowadays in gastronomy, not only in Peru, in the entire world. We need to think about that. We cannot do avant-garde restaurant, high-end cuisine with poverty when the people, well, actually has no food sometimes. So that's cruel, and that's not sensitive at all. So I think, yeah, we have to do kind of multiple things. And that's part of our diversity. Diversity in food, diversity in products, diversity on thinking.
You've gone from like no culinary schools to like mushrooming culinary schools, all these people studying. What do you try to talk to the students about, the gastronomy students? How do you explain to them their place in the world and what they need to do and how you have to work on it?
Well, actually, when we approach the students all over the world, like, we keep telling them that there's different messages, and we have to believe on multiple cultures, diversity, as I've been saying. And there's only one true. They're different. And probably we are not doing the right thing. But we need help from different countries. I'm not saying like now Peru could be the mecca of the social impact, you know, to avoid poverty. And we are not probably the example, the best example. So at the end of the day, we are all connected. That's why there is a spiritual thing on it. And we have to bring this thing to the students, like, not to think about avant-garde cuisine, not to think in high-end restaurants, not to think of, we've been listening this a lot, not to think about being rock stars, not to think of being an amazing chef, not to think about being, well, one day dreaming about being Noma, being Massimo Bottura, being Gaston Acurio. Yeah, thank you so much. But, you know, there's only a few guys like them. And there's so many things to do.
I like your food so much. I mean, I think your ideas are terrific. But I really like your food. Can you tell us a couple of new dishes and sort of explain what your concept are?
Yeah, we're working with the intensity of the products of Peru. As I always think our terroir is so healthy, since we work with altitudes, you know, when you get to up to 4,000 meters above sea level, there's no way to have contamination there. I mean, like, it could come from the minery, these bad people doing stuff over there. But in some other places, like, you see this wide territory with beautiful vegetables, beautiful flowers, great people. So the food we're bringing is coming from those areas. So now a carrot is like carrot, a potato tastes like a potato, any vegetable root is like a real vegetable root. And we're bringing this food to our restaurant. So I think that's the reason we are achieving more taste.
Can I ask you about how many of the ideas you were talking about today might surface in London? For example, the edible clay. Is that something you're likely to bring, and the cocoa leaves? And also, I wanted to know if you could explain. I couldn't quite follow what cuchara was. And my last question was, are you looking to open other restaurants in Europe?
Yeah, you know, we would love to open more restaurants, but I think at the moment I don't have the team. I have amazing guys working in the restaurant. I have three head chefs, plus my wife. She's in charge of the kitchen now. She's been doing all the demo. And yeah, the thing is, you know, like, opening a restaurant with this complexity of ingredients is very difficult in London. I mean, like, how can we get coca leaves in Europe? People could be scary, right? It's not possible. I think no, it's not allowed. Yeah, I mean, like, no. You know, even if they stop me when I'm in customs, because, you know, like, they ask me, why are you here, whatever. Imagine if I'm coming with coca leaves. Like, it could take me a while to get to London, you know, like, after 2 days in a small room waiting for a stamp. Yeah. We can use that clay, of course. We are working on bringing this clay. We are working on bringing this quinoas from the Andes. Yeah, I brought different quinoas now. The cuchuro is a cyanobacteria, and it's we didn't know. We knew 3 years. We thought it was a type of algae, but now we know that it's a colony of bacteria that grows in the Andes. So we need to work on bringing this thing. Yeah, we've been working with 17 quinoas. Yeah, like, you probably, it's difficult to get them to London. But last time we did a small dinner at Lima Floral, and I brought all these quinoas, and it was amazing. No, flavor are different, you know, the stories are different, the regional thing is different. Yeah, next time, yeah, I shouldn't buy anybody, yeah. Yeah, I shouldn't buy, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I need to thank you for talking to us again. And, of course, I will always be trailing you and trying to find out your new ideas. And also, I'm glad that you have your kitchen in the good hands of Pia. Thank you, Virgilio.
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to thank Pia because, you know, it's all about love at the end of the day.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Our next segment features two of the finest chefs from Spain's eastern coast, Mediterranean, Carme Ruscalleda, the chef owner of Restaurant San Pau in Sant Pol de Mar, about 45 miles north of Barcelona, and about 45 kilometers south of Valencia, in Denia Quique da Costa.
Carme Ruscalleda is my hero. I would have said heroin, except I think she plays with the boys big time. In other words, she holds her own in this male-dominated field.
Yo creo que no soy un héroe. Solo que soy una persona que ha tenido la suerte de tener una familia que me acompañe y un equipo humano que también me siga. Los hombres en su equipo están llenas de hombres y mujeres, y el mío también está lleno de hombres y de mujeres. Por lo tanto, la rareza está que al frente esté una mujer. Pero tengo las mismas dificultades y creo que los mismos reconocimientos.
She said, I am not a hero, but I am surrounded by a good team of people. That either are men or women, and then what happens is that they all support me, and I happen to be a woman, but I have the same difficulties as the men have as well.
When we met first and ate at Carme's restaurant, that was your only restaurant, Carme, and then you had an opportunity, as I recall, to move to Tokyo and add that to your restaurant empire. Your test, I understood to be, you were given a painting or an artwork, and you created a dish around it. Is that truth? Do I remember correctly?
Jo crec, estic convençuda que la cuina és un art expressiu, com pot ser-ho la pintura, la música, el teatre, el cinema. Per tant, al darrere hi ha una passió artística que porta a composar alguna cosa que vols comunicar emoció a una altra. Per això, doncs, moltes vegades ens inspirem en la literatura, en un text, o en una pintura, o en la mateixa naturalesa. Però sí que hi ha al darrere realment una voluntat artística.
She thinks that food is art, so the art needs to be inspired either with a nice song, a nice music, a nice performance or theater. But of course, you have to put the soul to make it really an art piece.
How has your experience with the Japanese culture affected your cooking style in general?
Ha estat fantàstic que ens invitessin a treballar a Japó. Allà hem descobert una cultura molt diferent de la nostra, que ha enriquit i ha obert la nostra ment, altres tècniques, altres talls, altres productes. Per tant, la nostra cuina millora perquè les cultures sempre sumen.
She said it's been wonderful that they have been invited to cook in Japan, so they have been able to understand and learn about another culture, another way of cooking, another way of cutting, and all the cultures added, always it's an addition, no?
Now, you most recently opened a restaurant in Barcelona, and your son runs it, and Peter, my husband, is really interested in what it is like to have to work on that level with your son.
Sentir la força per obrir un nou restaurant, la dona doncs un equip amb talent i amb voluntat de posar-s'hi. Això va passar a Tòquio i va passar ara fa 5 anys a Barcelona, i llavors ho vàrem proposar al nostre fill perquè és la persona que veiem amb més talent per fer-ho. Doncs, de la mateixa manera que compagina treballar amb altres. Tenim la mateixa exigència i la mateixa col·laboració. És un mes, evidentment que som mare i fill, però davant de la feina som dues persones que treballen en una mateixa línia.
5 years ago, when she opened Moments at Mandarin Oriental Barcelona, she as well had to find for the person who the most talent that she considered. And that's why she took her son, because she thought that he was the one to have that talent to handle this project. It's his son, of course, but it's another person of the team and has with the same working relationship that any other person of the team, no?
In your talk today, you talked about constructing this dragon. I'm not sure I totally understood, except for the fact that you had very good reasons for every single element you added to this mythical being.
Oferir el dragó és crear un nou concepte de petifurs que generalment són peces petites i molt planetes. Per tant, aquest, amb els mateixos elements, amb bombons, amb galetes, amb xocolata blanca, amb xocolata negra, hem creat una peça que és una escultura i que alhora podem fer un homenatge a la ciutat de Barcelona i a Gaudí. Per tant, hem posat una altra dimensió, una altra forma als petifurs, que eren plans, els hem elevat amb els mateixos sabors que van bé amb els cafès. Bombons, galetes, xocolates.
Sí, normally the petifurs are all plain. but with different textures and different flavors. Chocolate, coffee, different flavors. With this new concept, she has elevated the petit fours, giving them a relieve, like a sculpture. And it's because of giving an homage to Gaudí, because it's the Gaudí dragon. So this way, they are the same petit fours, but in a different size of presenting.
I'd like for you to introduce yourself, and because I'd like to thank you for your translation.
Thank you. I'm Monica Omedes. I am Director of Communications at Mandarin Oriental Barcelona.
We hope to go there.
Well, here's the interesting news, listeners, because thanks to the fact that all these places are fairly close, except Tokyo, you can have lunch at restaurant São Paulo in São Paulo de Mar. You can easily be back in time to have cocktails and tapas and then have dinner at the Mandarin Oriental in Barcelona, because the distance is only 45 kilometers and it takes a very short time and you can do it on the train. So sometimes we spend altogether too much road time. This is an opportunity to not spend so much road time. Kame, we thank you so much for talking to us. How about a last thought for our listeners?
Sí, pels oïdors, dir que la cuina pot expressar una cultura d'un entorn, una cultura que és pròpia, amb personalitat, però a més a més ens permet afegir idees pròpies d'aquell restaurant. Per tant, moments de personalitat pròpia, Tòquio també i Sant Pau també. Hi ha una mateixa filosofia, però cadascun és diferent de l'altre.
She says that the kitchen is culture of the place that you are. So that's why her philosophy is the same in the three restaurants, but each of them has its own personality. The one in Barcelona, at the Mandarin, the one in Tokyo, and the one in São Paulo.
Thank you so much. It's been 5-6 years since we've been to Kike da Costa's restaurant, and we run into him again at the Gastronomica conference. Kike. Oh, I follow you on Twitter, by the way. Could you briefly tell our listeners the content of your topic for today's presentation, which you entitled Tomorrowland? What do you mean by Tomorrowland?
Bien, quieren saber un poquito en unas palabras cómo podrías definir un poquito tu nuevo menú, el Tomorrowland.
Okay. Es Tomorrowland es la suma de 24 años de carrera profesional, y en realidad lo que proponemos es un viaje que transita por los lugares donde hemos visitado, que de alguna manera a nosotros nos han servido, nos han influenciado, que hemos expresado en nuestra cocina, y por otro lado también nuestras sensibilidades respecto al entorno, al medio ambiente, conservar unas ciertas especies y de alguna manera también materializarlo en nuestra cocina.
So Tomorrowland it's más alto. Tomorrowland it's a trip, a travel we want to give to the customer. It's the sum of 24 years of professionality in the kitchen. It's the inquietude of preserving product of our surrounding, giving sensibility, which is our characteristic, and to make sure we keep well alive our dream and all the product we have around the restaurant.
When we last ate at Kike's restaurant, he seemed to value surprise and drama. Is he still as interested in those characteristics of his food?
¿Sabes qué pasa? Que el menú ahora mismo son entre 40 y 50 cosas. En 40 y 50 cosas cabe el drama, la magia, la improvisación, lo local, la vanguardia, la tradición, y de hecho se trata de que sea muy plural, porque estando sentado comiendo 3-4 horas, si es muy monótono, si pivota solo en 1, 2, 3 conceptos, el cliente se termina aburriendo porque es predecible a mitad de menú.
It's still something we're working on, but we are serving a menu which is 40-50 dishes, so there is place for drama, for surprise, for emotion, for dynamism, modern food, because at the end of the day the people are sitting at least 3 hours at the table, and you cannot have only one concept, because if not it would be too boring and too previsible. So that words you said are still in our food, but there is much more around it.
Would you please just select one or two of your most recent dishes and describe them in detail and also the concept that you were following?
A ver, dos platos. Mire, el menú se divide en seis actos y podríamos decir que lo más singular es el continuo desarrollo hacia comer con las manos, que dependiendo de qué cosa puede ser más o menos amable, puede ser más o menos normal, pero cuando te enfrentas a la partida de o a la zona o a, de los pescados o de los mariscos, donde habitualmente se necesita, se requiere de cubiertos, el desarrollo técnico conceptual sobre todo lo que alberga, paisajes, mimetismos, técnicas más o menos precisas que son irrelevantes, el hecho de comer buena parte de un menú con las manos requiere además un desarrollo técnico con los soportes, las que discurren desde pieles, nuevas setas, pieles, cortezas de tubérculos, bueno, pues o diferentes pastas, ¿no? Básicamente esto sería como, bueno, una singularidad.
There is okay. So there is in our menu six different acts. So not really a dish or a plate we could talk about, but there is a big part of our menu where you eat with your hands, which can be better, worse, depending a little bit where you come from, but it's our tradition in Spain. And it's very important for us this year to work on to the support, because can be a skin of a fish, can be a mushroom, can be a wood, can be something very different for the people that every time they're gonna eat something with their hands, they've got something different. So the products are still very important, but the way we treat them to eat with our hands is a little bit different.
Well, it sounds as exciting as ever. And you sound, Kike, as unpredictable as ever. So I look forward to our next visit to your restaurants.
Conviene que no tardes mucho en volver, que no tardes mucho en volver, porque el ritmo creativo es alto. Y teniendo en cuenta esto, pues os perderéis propuestas, ¿no? Como Tomorrowland o Made in the Moon, que son muy, muy, muy interesantes.
Thank you very much, but you have to make it quick. You cannot lose more time because our kitchen is very productive, very inventive, and it would be a shame to lose this menu this year. Especially you have lost already a couple in between. So we wait for you in Denia anytime you feel like it. Thank you.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
And no visit to San Sebastian can be complete without a conversation with our good friend Elena Arzak.
A brilliant, brilliant woman.
Absolutely. You'll agree with Anne 100% when you hear how she talks about her profession and her experience and what it means to be from San Sebastian.
It's been a while since we've talked with Elena Arzak. I have to start with a question. Why is it, with all of your experience, always more responsibilities, your very busy life, you keep looking younger?
Thank you for your words. No, it's what I have really to tell you is that who is really happy to meet you again is me, because I met you already, and you know, I was when I saw you yesterday, I was very happy. I ran to you because you know I won't forget you. No, because you are people that adore the gastronomy, no, and you have to tell me the secret. Why, how do you keep so young? Not me. Please tell me. I want to know it.
So we both are liars. Okay, you presented twice at this conference, I believe. What is the significance of Gastronomica?
Gastronomica is the food congress in San Sebastian and is one of the most important congress in the world. No, and imagine for my father and me and for all the chefs to take part in Gastronomica is very important. And you know, all the many chefs from all over the world come here to show us what they do. No, if you are lucky and you can take part, it is really in 2-3 days you know really what is going on in the planet, no? That's for me, you know, so much information that is necessary to take part in this on these food congresses.
When we first met you at your primary restaurant, which you and your father own and operate, Juan Marie and Elena Arzak, you had an experimental flavor lab that was absolutely way ahead of its time, and you've since gone on to open a second restaurant in London. Tell me else how you've changed in all these years. You're not just getting bigger, you're getting better as well. Your reputation is supreme, and you've even been named the best female chef in the world.
I will tell you that, you know, with the time you get more experience, no? But I learned already from my father that even if you age, you have to stay young in mentality for the creativity. If you don't think young, even if you are older, you know, you lose the illusion of the projects, no? And they are the basical secret is to work. That's you cannot afford to do a result of lot of plates or creating new plates if you don't work many hours every day. The another thing is that you have to be on day to know nowadays what happens. And I will like to pass you Gabriela Ranelli, that is sitting next to me, and explaining what you asked about London in the restaurant we are doing the consulting, because she explains better than me.
Well, the project in London is quite a different project from what we have here. I mean, there's only one Arzak, and Elena and her father Juan Mari have been, you know, Arzak this year is celebrating their 25 years of having 3 Michelin stars. It's more than 100 years old, so it's a lot behind it. And of course, that's a constant evolution in the restaurant. Every year in the restaurant, we create more than 50 original dishes, which is an awful lot. But nothing goes on the menu until they like something better than what's on there. So London is a very different project. It's not just Arzak in London. It's a consulting project they do with the Halkan Hotels, which is fantastic, and we're very, very happy with them. But obviously, it can't be Arzak in London. We use a lot of the other dishes, but you have to adapt to the public that's there. It's quite different. I mean, the people who are in London are expecting something different than the people who come to Arzak here in San Sebastian. The raw ingredients are different. So they, you know, one of the things that the team did when they went there, because it's part of Arzak instruction, which is 5 members. You met Xavi and Igor, who were in doing the workshop with Elena. And another one, Mikkel, who spends a lot of time in London. He can travel more than everybody else. And then Elena and Juan Mari Arzak. So it's 5 people that work on this project. They all spent a lot of time in London visiting markets, kind of checking out the ingredients that were going to be available to them there. So obviously, we have an incredible amount of amazing fish that comes to us directly from here. We have farmers that bring down mushroom, people who go foraging for mushrooms for us to come down to the restaurant, farmers who grow like the little baby peas that are here in the summer. We play a lot with seasonality here in the restaurant in San Sebastian. And we want to do the same thing there, but obviously, the seasons are slightly different. The ingredients are slightly different, so we've had to adapt a lot of things. Obviously, they're recipes from Arzak, but adapted to London. And they're older recipes sometimes, or newer recipes that we just thought would work really well in London. But it's a very different thing from Arzak. There's only one Arzak, and it's in San Sebastian.
You were wonderful. I should mention exactly who that is Gabriela Ranelli, who is the communications director for this Arzak group. And she knows what's going on. Elena, just an aside, I ran into your father, and as usual, he embraced me, kissed me, and is happy. He's so happy. Does he still show up and work?
Yes, my father, you know, today he's 72 years old, and already 6 years ago, I asked him, perhaps you want to jubilee, you want to do something else. And, you know, he told me, no, Elena, not at all. I wish I could to continue working, to go on with my profession, because he really likes very much, no? And the people that know him and are close to him, they notice, no? Because he talks always about projects from here to 40 years. You understand? It's incredible, no? He's a mind that cannot stop. And he, of course, you know, he has a lot of great ideas, but of course he is not my age, no, and he needs to rest a little bit more. But you know, he, as you ask me, the answer is no. He's still with me in the restaurant.
Now, when I first met you, you had small children or smallish children, and I'm sure they're grown now. But I think what you taught me was how important balancing all these elements are, and you did it so well. Tell us about that.
I will tell my story. I was born in San Sebastian, and I grew up very close to the restaurant. And in the restaurant worked my grandmother, our aunt, my mother, my father. So my sister Marta and me, we went a lot to the restaurant. No, indirectly, we were very influenced from this atmosphere. So, and, you know, San Sebastian is a matriarchal society where the women are very strong. So, in the kitchen of Arzak have been always been a lot of women working. And also still is the day that 80% of the staff in Arzak, even in the kitchen or in the dining room, are women. So, when my oldest child, Nora, that now, today, she's 9 years old, was born, we are born 5 more children in the restaurant. So I was not the only one. So this is why perhaps we can be exception comparing to other people, but I didn't have problems to do that. You understand? Because the atmosphere around me was very positive for helping the woman with children. Also, my husband is a person that knew me like that, and he is always in charge of the children, no? So I wish all the women were like that, but I know not all of them are like that, so I don't want to say that it's easy. I'm talking only about my situation. The only I had to worry about and is to work enough, you understand, not if I was a man or a woman.
You've always been, the restaurant has been, and you also have been, interested in being in the forefront and have been in the forefront of gastronomy. What, I'd like to get inside your head a little bit. What new about dishes, about cooking, about gastronomy, what new attracts you the most and gives you the most passion today as we talk?
For me, cooking has been, for me, cooking has been always a pleasure, no? Since I was very young. You know, when I was very young, I think my first step were in at home and in the restaurant, no? At the same time, more or less. So, and at home, I like to make souffles, but not of with sugar souffles. I remember I made souffles of jamón, of ham, of cheese, no? But my technique was not good enough, and after 10 seconds, I made the souffles in the microwave. They go down, you understand? So I said, Elena, you need to learn a lot to keep my souffle up, no? And, you know, today is a day that when a chef likes to cook, the most happiest is when you cook, no? Of course, now a chef is in charge of many things today. I'm not talking only about me, about other chefs, no? That even if you have a lot of ideas, you need to travel, you need to be with the medias, you need to be with your guests, no? And this is why you need to be surrounded by a very good team, so you can share them. You cannot imagine how many tests I burned already. No. I could go into the record Guinness, no? And so this is why I decide to rely on the team of the lab, and they help my family to make these testings, no? So even if you have sometimes to give up a little bit and but really what I like most is to create the recipes. And I will tell you what I like less. What I like less is to write these recipes, because to write these recipes for a chef is very difficult. You know, because we have the mind full of ideas, and to explain patiently and correctly a recipe to a normal person is not that I don't like. It's not the right term. Is that for me is very, very difficult. Writing a recipe, I take 5 hours for a recipe. No, and this is why I need help also.
What chef are you looking at, another chef, right now thinking this is somebody who's going to make a big splash in our industry?
So I think there are many, many that today influences. And these 3 days, these 2 days, I've been looking the demonstrations. I'm impressed, no? Of course, I admire since always everything what El Bulli does. I admire, well, I couldn't see all of them, but the few I could see, I saw Juan Roca, I saw Quique da Costa, I saw the Italian Romico. I saw Romico, I saw Massimo Bottura, Carlo Cracco, you know, and I was impressed. This wakes you up. It's not a competition, no? But this is, you say, oh, what nice things do the people, no? The other chefs, no? And I think looking around what everybody does is very important, opens you the mind. No, there are many, many, many that I like, no?
You're wonderful. I'm going to set you free now because you've had a really busy time here at the conference. Thank you again, and it's wonderful seeing you.
No, for me, it's an honor that you, again, stop me this time and make you the interview. No, I know everybody wants to be that you interview them, and thank you very much. Muchas gracias.
Gabriela, thank you.
Thank you very much. It was lovely to meet you.
You're probably wondering why this is a program of record length, but then you don't always get all the, in fact, you don't ever get all these people in one place at once and have the opportunity to talk to them. So we hope you enjoy, and we'll be back next week with more from Spain. And in the meantime,
bye-bye.